What I feel the Lord to do for the next few weeks is the Lord has laid on my heart what I believe is going to end up being a series of messages. At first I called it Practical Christianity 101. But there are many things, many practical things in the Word of God that we need to overcome, that we need to begin to walk in if we really intend to be end time sons of God. We need to be overcomers of these other things as well. And so we're going to talk about some very practical things. And you know, the funny thing about practical things is that practical things always step on people's toes. So let the Holy Spirit step where He needs to step today, brethren. The first of these things, and I know we're not going to be able to do that all in one meeting here, we're going to talk about the defilement of listening to an evil report or even participating in an evil report. Now, I want to go to Philippians to begin this word, the book of Philippians, chapter 4. We'll start in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Amen. How many of you are rejoicing always in the Lord? Let your moderation, hallelujah, let your moderation be known unto all men. Let me just look up moderation here. It means gentleness, I believe. Be careful for nothing. Are you where we are, sister?
Where are you at?
We're in Philippians chapter 4. Started in verse 4. Okay, now we're down to verse 6. By the way, some of these verses we're going to be going through pretty fast today. We're going to do Tommy Cook speed here on some of them. If you don't get them all, it will be recorded. Okay, so you can get the disc and you can hear it again if you want to copy all these things down again. Okay, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. Didn't we sing that song this morning? And with thanksgiving, hallelujah. We need a thankful heart. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, now here we're getting into some real meat. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And now finish in verse 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Now, this verse 8, I think, really is the key to everything that we're going to say about what we speak and what we listen to. Okay? Now, this needs to be the criteria. First of all, it needs to be true. It needs to be honest. It needs to be just. It needs to be pure. It needs to be lovely. It needs to be a good report. Amen? And it needs to have virtue, and there needs to be a place for praise found in it as well. Does that sound too difficult? Can we live our life by that standard? Amen? Okay, now, I want to give a definition here. First of all, we'll state what the problem is. The problem, ask the question is, what causes conflicts in families, churches, other organizations to flare out of control and split the entire group? What would be the cause? All right, let me ask another question. What causes close fellowships to be broken when neither party offended the other? Number three question. Why are attempts to restore a fallen Christian brother or sister often met with defeat? Now, the major cause is going to be the wrong responses to an evil report. I'm going to give a definition. An evil report involves distortion of facts, incomplete facts, false information, given with a wrong motivation, causes the hearer to come to inaccurate conclusions, to respond with unscriptural solutions. They're very destructive, and these reports can even destroy long-lasting and close friendships. I'm going to read a verse from Proverbs chapter 16. It will be verses 27 and 28. An ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is a burning fire. A froward man, what is a froward man? It's a perverse man. Verse 28, a froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. So the best of friends is often separated by this kind of talking. Now, I want to define what I'm going to call the stages of defilement, okay? And I'm going to make a list here on the board. There's going to be five stages, and I know we're not going to get through all five of them today. Who has better writing than I? You could read her writing. My writing looks like it could only be read by a pharmacist. Number one is ignorance.
What are these for?
These are stages of defilement. Okay, that people can get defiled by gossip, slander, an evil report. Okay, first of all, there's ignorance. Okay, second, read if you want to write number two, would be exposure. Number three would be contamination. This sounds like a disease, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Number four is the infection itself. Infection.
Infection.
Just infection. 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 And number five is the disease itself. Okay? Now, let's go back to ignorance. Let me read. Does anybody have an Amplified Bible? Marilyn, would you bring me that Amplified Bible there? I want to read the verse from 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. We're talking about disease. Yeah, just disease. Stages of defilement. We're going to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and I'm going to read it from the Amplified Bible, chapter 11, or verse 11. Maybe we should read it in the King James as well. Anybody have 2 Corinthians 2, 11 in the King James Bible?
Lest Satan should get the advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices.
Okay, now this says that God does not want us ignorant of Satan's devices, okay? He has tricks, he has snares, he has things like that. We should not be ignorant, okay? That verse in the Amplified Bible says, to keep Satan from getting the advantage over us, for we are not ignorant of his wiles and intentions. Okay.
His wiles.
Wow. And intentions. That's his clever ways. 1 Peter 5:8 has some interesting wisdom concerning this issue. Here we are, 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Amen. So our attitude towards Satan is, we understand that he's going about, he's an opportunist. He's looking for whoever he can devour. He goes about roaring, hoping that he can intimidate us by the noise of his roar, and perhaps he can devour us. He's like a lion. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16. Again, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought into you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts of your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Amen. Now, it's interesting that the word that the King James uses, the word conversation, it has a broader meaning than just the talk that comes out of our mouth. It also means our conduct. But it also applies to our conversation as well. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now, go back again, gird up the loins of your mind. How do you gird up the loins of your mind? Get your mind ready to hear what God is saying, and get your mind ready that you are going to obey what God says. In other words, you're going to set your life pattern according to the wisdom of the Word of God, not according to the things you want to do or the way you want to carry things out, but God's order. Amen? Now, James 3:6 says that the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. It defiles the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on the fire of hell. So in other words, the tongue itself can be lit by the match of hell. Hell can ignite this tongue, and once this tongue gets going out of control, it sets on fire the whole course of nature, and it defiles the whole body, the tongue. Your whole body can be defiled by your tongue. Did you know that? Or you can defile somebody else's body with your tongue. How many of you have ever felt like when somebody is bringing some evil report that they're using you for a garbage can? And you know, I know brethren that come right out and say, just, whoa, wait a minute, stop. I'm not a garbage can. Go dump that somewhere else, but don't dump it on me. Amen? Now, here's more about ignorance. So there's ignorance about how words destroy close friendships. We've already read, I think, Proverbs 17, verse 9, or didn't we? No, we didn't. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. Proverbs 7:19. Now, when it says that he that covereth a transgression, it also means that he forgives the transgression. In other words, he's not just sweeping it under the rug, but he forgives it. And he doesn't have to keep carrying the thing about. Okay? It says, but he that repeateth a matter, which means that he keeps on harping on the thing, the end result of this is it's going to separate friends. People that once loved one another are going to find themselves at enmity with one another. Okay? Another ignorance is of how the unclean defile the clean. And if you look in Haggai chapter 2, let me go to Haggai here. Here we are. Chapter 2, verse 11. Oh, 2:11, okay. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, ask now the priest concerning the law, saying, if one bear holy flesh in the skirt of his garment, and with his skirt do touch bread, or pottage, or wine, or oil, or any meat, shall it be holy? And the priest answered and said, no. In other words, he was touched by an unclean thing. He was carrying a clean thing. He was touched by an unclean thing. Now is that clean thing still holy? The answer is no. Then said Haggai, if one that is unclean by a dead body touch any of these, shall it be unclean? And the priest answered and said, it shall be unclean. Then answered Haggai and said, so is this people, and so is this nation before me, saith the Lord, and so is every work of their hands, and that which they offer there is unclean. So we see that unclean things can defile things that are clean. In other words, we are clean before God if our conscience is clean, if our behavior and our walk is clean. But when we participate and partake of unclean things, including unclean word, we become unclean. It contaminates us as well, and we need to get cleaned up again. Thirdly, there is an ignorance of what actually constitutes an evil report. It is an unauthorized or distorted or false report that influences us to form an evil opinion about another person. In other words, you thought well of somebody until you began to hear thus and thus. Now you get this report, and all of a sudden, your mind is polluted now. You can't think well of that other person anymore. Okay? There's ignorance of how the evil reports are given. And let me just give you some examples here. I'm not going to read from the Word. They're communicated by words, facial expressions, gestures, and tonal patterns. They can be subtle, obvious, quiet, angry, sweet, or bitter. Now, let me give you an example here of how you can communicate something without actually saying it. I got to find a fictitious name. Nobody here named Herbie, is there? Okay. Oh, really? No, it isn't. So you come to me and you mention Herbie's name, and I say, oh, Herbie. Now, what you understood clearly what I was saying, didn't you? I was giving you an impression of what I believe about Herbie. But I didn't say anything. All I said is, oh, Herbie. No, I didn't say it like that. I said, oh, Herbie. You know? So I communicated something of an evil report about Herbie. I can do it by rolling my eyes. Have you ever seen people, they talk to you? So how's, give me another fictitious woman's name here. Is there anybody in here named Jane? Jane, what?
Herbietta.
How's Herbietta doing? Oh, Herbietta. Just rolling my eyes around. You get the idea. Oh, Herbietta's a basket case, isn't she? But I didn't say that. But I communicated that, didn't I? Come on, brethren. People communicate. Do you know that people that can't speak can communicate? And they get the point across very well. Little babies that can't talk yet. Doesn't the mother know what their problem is and what they want? They get the point through. Eventually, they learn to put words behind it, and the mother begins to hear the words. Amen. Okay. And finally, on this ignorance thing, is there is an ignorance of who gives evil reports. It's part of the fallen nature of every human being. Hello? Every human being has this proclivity in our fallen nature. Now, let's talk about the different categories of bringing forth an evil report. One is a whisperer. Maybe Sister would write some of these on the board. This comes under ignorance, okay? And here's a list. A whisperer is one who secretly or privately passes on evil reports to others. Psalm 41, verse 7. I'm just going to read the portion that apply to this. Sometimes the whole verse doesn't apply, okay? Because sometimes in Psalms and Proverbs, there's a mixed message in one verse. All right? It says, David is saying, "All who hate me whisper together against me." All right? The second under ignorance would be a gossip. Now, we got a lot to say about gossip. Gossip is one who magnifies and sensationalizes rumors and partial information. Now, there's a verse in 1 Timothy 3:11, and I want to read that and see what the Lord is saying in this verse. Now, this verse here is a description of the qualifications. This chapter is qualifications of an elder, and it also talks about the qualifications of an elder's wife. Okay? And it says, "Even so must their wives be grave," and grave means reverent. Doesn't mean they're hanging around gravestones. "Not a slanderer," and that word there is diabolos, not a diabolos. We're going to define that a little bit here too. Sober means temperate, okay? "Faithful in all things." Now, this word diabolos is the same word that is used in the Bible, in the New Testament, as demon. It's saying that the wives must not be diabolos. They must not have demon. But it refers specifically to the demon of talk. Okay? It also means a false accuser. If you're looking for that number in the Strong's Concordance, it's 1228. It refers to a false accuser. You know that the devil is what? He's the accuser of the brethren, isn't he? Mm-hmm. So his nature is accusation. And whenever you begin to hear accusation coming against you or anyone else, you know that it's motivated by the devil. We've found ourselves in the midst of quite a bit of accusation in the course of our time trying to minister to the house of God. And whenever somebody just starts railing and accusing, I can say with assurance, this is not coming from the Holy Spirit. This is coming from the devil. And you might as well get the victory over this and begin to tone down that fire that's in your tongue and overcome it. Amen. Not many can overcome the tongue, can they? Hallelujah. Here's another example of slander. Did you put slander down? Yeah, let's put the next one down. Here is slander. And slander is one who seeks to destroy another's credibility or reputation with damaging facts, distortions of facts, or evil suspicions. And I'm going to give you Numbers chapter 14, verse 36. Now, you know what was happening in Numbers 13 and 14, don't you? It was where Moses appointed 12 men, one from each of the tribes, to go over into the Canaan land and to spy it out and to bring back a report. And he expected a good report. Now, here's what happened. It says, "And the men whom Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him." It says these men made the congregation to murmur. How did they make them murmur? Did he say, "All right, everybody murmur now"? That is the way it happened. it brought this evil report. Let me read the rest of the verse here. It made the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander against the land. Even those who did bring up an evil report, and if you finish the rest of the verse, it says that these men who did this died by the plague. My goodness. That's pretty serious, wasn't it? Now, by the way, is what these men said about the land of Canaan factual?
Mm-hmm.
Factually, they were correct. They said the land is full of giants. They might have said they have iron-wheeled chariots. They have this. They have that. They're in walled cities. That was all true, wasn't it? I mean, factual. But the thing is, facts and truth are not always the same thing. See, these were the facts. These guys are bigger than we are. These guys are in walled cities. These guys have got all kinds of armaments. But truth is, we are able to overcome them. And that is what God wanted to hear. That is what Moses wanted to hear from these 12 spies. Only two of them spoke truth. The other 10 were giving the facts of what the land was like. And they distorted it in such a manner, they came with a bad attitude. Amen. They added their own opinion to this and said, we are like grasshoppers in their sight. Now that was not a fact, was it? So there was a distortion of the truth that they added their own thing to it. That is slander. Proverbs 10:18. He that utters a slander is a self-confident fool. Now that's probably not King James. Psalms 101 verse 5. He who secretly slanders his neighbor, him will I cut off from me. That's pretty serious, isn't it? The next one, sister, would be busybody. Anybody ever encounter a busybody? And by the way, let me just say, busybody is not the sole ownership of women. There are many men who are busybodies as well. Okay, so it's either sex. Busybody is one who digs up evil reports and makes it his business to spread them by means of gossip, slander, or whispering. Such an action is as great a sin as murder or stealing. It is classified with these by God, and he warns. Now I'm going to read 1 Peter 4:15. Again, man, Peter has a lot of good information, doesn't he? 1 Peter 4:15. Let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Isn't that interesting that he threw that busybody in with murder and thieving and such the like? The Amplified adds to the busybody, the definition here, a mischief maker or a meddler. Now, more on ignorance. We're still doing ignorance here. This was ignorance of who gives the evil report. Now here's the ignorance of what motivates evil reports. Okay? My, a lot on ignorance, isn't there? Would you continue your list here with a flash? Here's the list. Bitterness, rebellion, deception, pride, guilt, and envy. Let me go to James. I'm going to read it in the Amplified again. James 3, verses 14 through 18. Bitterness, rebellion, deception, pride. After deception, pride, guilt, and envy. James chapter 3, starting verse 14. But if you have bitter jealousy, which is envy, and contention, which is rivalry, and selfish ambition, in your hearts, Do not pride yourselves on it, and thus be in defiance of and false to the truth. Did you hear that? This puts you in contrast to the truth, if you have this in your heart. This superficial wisdom is not such as comes down from above, but is earthly, unscriptural, they have the word animal in parentheses here, even devilish, demonical, for wherever there is jealousy, which is envy, and contention, which is rivalry, and selfish ambition, there will also be confusion. Confusion is unrest, disharmony, and rebellion, and all sorts of evil and vile practices. Verse 17, but the wisdom from above is first of all pure, that means undefiled, then it is peace-loving, courteous, which is considered and gentle, it is willing to yield to reason. My goodness, you know, I meet people that just can't yield to reason. I'm reading Amplified. I'm reading the Amplified, yes. It is willing to yield to reason, full of compassion and good fruits. It is wholehearted and straightforward, impartial and unfeigned, free from doubts, wavering, and insincerity. And the harvest of righteousness, of conformity to God's will in thought and deed, is the fruit of the seed sown in peace by those who work for and make peace in themselves and in others, that is, that peace which means concord, agreement, harmony, between individuals with undisturbedness in a peaceful mind, free from fears and agitating passions and moral conflicts. My, what a definition. Now, bitterness. Just give you a little definition of these things. Bitterness is reacting because of personal hurts. We had a whole message on bitterness, the root of bitterness, you remember. If you want to hear it again, we can hear it again. Go to Hebrews. Lest there be found a root of bitterness in you that does what? Springs up troubles not only you, but everybody else. Okay, that's bitterness. Rebellion. My definition here is justifying an independent spirit. Deception. Believing that evil reports are right and proper to give. Pride. Wanting to exalt self. Guilt. Justifying past actions or attitudes. And envy, which is equated with jealousy here in the Amplified, is desiring what someone else has. Okay? Why do we enjoy hearing an evil report? Because it exalts us. We say, well, this is evil about this person, but I'm not guilty of that, so I must be better than them. So they bring down and hurt someone that we may dislike. Okay? But it makes us look better. How does Satan use these evil reports? Well, I have a list here. Maybe you don't agree with my list, but here it is. One, to discredit leadership, spiritual leadership. It causes Christians to close their spirit toward each other. It multiplies conflicts and produces more ungodliness. And it causes non-Christians to mock Christianity and to reject Jesus Christ. Now, the second step here is exposure. So, first of all, we come into this defilement because we're ignorant of Satan's devices. So, the ignorant man falls into this. Now he's exposed to it. Okay? Proverbs 27, verse 12 says, "A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished." So exposure is entering into conversation with a person who is a carrier of an evil report. Now, how does God want us to respond to this? Now, some of the verses we're going to read, we've already read, so I'm going to reread them again because they fit in this particular place. Psalm 101.
What was that one in Proverbs?
Proverbs 27:12.
Okay, thank you.
Now I'm reading Psalm 101, verse 5. Whoso privately, that means secretly, slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. God says he's going to cut him off. All right? Ephesians 5, verses 10 through 12. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Romans 16, verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. So there's going to have to be a certain avoidance, okay? In the natural, brethren, we have protective physical defenses to warn us about physical contamination. When we can smell it or taste it, but sometimes we are unaware of contamination until it's too late. You open your refrigerator, and there's a piece of meat in there that you're planning to cook for supper. You unwrap it. First of all, it's green. Secondly, it has a horrible smell. Are you going to go ahead and cook it for supper? No, you're not. You might be naive enough to try it, but it isn't going to work.
You would get infected.
You would get infected for sure. In the same way, God gives us protective spiritual defenses to warn us about spiritual contamination. He gives us a sense of smell. This doesn't smell right, you know? How many of you know that there's people that have a nose ministry in the body of Christ? No, they can smell when something isn't right, you know? And we can sense the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Follow the warnings of God's Word and obey the wise counsel, even of our human authorities. Sometimes, however, we are unaware of the spiritual danger until it's too late. Now, how do we detect a carrier of an evil report? Here's some of the tactics that are used. A carrier will usually test your spirit before giving you the evil report. Any evidence of a compatible spirit in you will encourage him to give you the report. You know, there's people that have a very compatible spirit to this. It's like approaching a garbage can and the lid is off and there's already bad smell in there. So, hey, let's just go and dump some more trash in here, you know? A carrier will usually check your acceptance of his report by giving it to you. He may do this by asking for your opinion about the person or dropping a negative comment and observing your response to it. I'm running out of hypothetical names.
Richard?
Larry doesn't mind. Have you heard about Larry? What's your response? Larry and Madeline?
Oh boy.
Would you like to know? Now, if you show curiosity, really? Really? Or if you say, listen, I don't think I want to hear anymore. This doesn't sound good. If you have something to say, maybe you ought to go to the brother himself. You understand what you give some kind of a feedback as to whether you're going to allow this to be dumped on you. The carrier will often get you to ask for the evil report by curating some curiosity. Some starters are, have you heard about? Wait till I tell you about. Is there a Joe around here? About Joe? Nobody here named Joe, is there? Is that your middle name?
Middle name.
Yes, sir. So-and-so.
Okay.
Just
use Jerry.
Yes.
No, we're not going to do that. Carrier may contaminate an evil report by asking you for counsel or by sharing a concern for the person involved. You know, I wonder if I could just get your counsel on this issue here. And you listen, and it turns out they're not asking for counsel at all. All they're looking for is an opportunity to dump a dirty story on you about somebody else. Well, what counsel did you want? My counsel is, forget it. Quit talking about it. You know? A carrier will usually evoke, is one who evokes vivid details of evil and even search them out. It says here that God condemns such detectives of darkness whose tongues are like sharp swords. Psalm 57, verse 4. Let me read that just so we get the exact word here. Psalm 57, verse 4. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire. What is it that sets them on fire again? James said it. The fire of hell. Even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Now, how do we detect an evil report? Five questions to ask, okay, before becoming a listener. First question, what is your reason for telling me? Why are you involving me in this? Okay? Because this might be, the motive might be that they want to widen the circle of gossip. Just get more in the circle. Okay? Number two, where did you get your information? Well, a reliable source. That's a refusal. The refusal to identify the source is a sure signal that it's an evil report. Have you gone, number three, have you gone directly to those involved? What's it say in Galatians 6:1? Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye who are spiritual, restore him with meekness. Now, ye who are spiritual means ye who are controlled by the Spirit. With meekness means not with a sense of superiority, but with a sense of humility. Number four, have you personally checked out all the facts? We're talking about facts can become distorted when not balanced with other facts or given with negative motives. Here's some verses about facts and truth. Let's go to the Gospel of John. John 8:32. I'll just read the verses here. You can look them up later. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Amen. So real genuine truth is not going to put you in bondage, but it's going to set you free. Amen. John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Is this Christ that is being reported? If it is, he is truth. If it's not Christ, it may not be truth, even though it may be factual. Okay? John 16, verse 13, the Spirit will guide you in all truth. And final question to ask, can I quote you if I check it out? And you know what? The gossip is going to say, oh, no. I don't want to be quoted in this. Can I make a recording of what you just said? No. Off the record. See, people want to be off the record. Those who give evil reports often claim that they are misquoted. This is because their words are overriding impressions are reported. See, if you give this with gestures, nonverbal communication, and I go off, I'm not going to say it just the way you said it. I'm going to say it the way your nonverbal was giving me, and you're going to say, but you misquoted me. I didn't say that. Oh, but you did, but not by the same method. Defilement. Okay, we're coming to number... I thought it was on the list here. Number three. Oh, it must be contamination. Yes. Contamination by allowing the germs to enter our system. Once again, Proverbs 26, verse 22. The words of a talebearer are as wounds. They go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Let me read that in the Amplified. I'm going to read several other verses that go along with it. Proverbs 22. Rita and I have just finished reading Proverbs. A great book. Take your time. Go through it verse by verse. Hear what God is saying to you. Chapter 26, we're going to start in verse 20. And this is Amplified now. For lack of wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no whisper, contention ceases. How many of you know if you want to keep a fire going, you got to keep adding wood to it? Those of us that burn wood. Don't put any wood in. Fire's gone, the house starts getting cold. It needs fuel. And this is the devil's kind of fuel, okay? As coals are to hot embers and wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome man to inflame strife. The words of a whisper or slander are as dainty morsels or words of sport to some, but to others are as deadly wounds. And they go down into the innermost parts of the body or of the victim's nature. Interesting. In the same way that touching a diseased person will defile your hands, and by the way, one of the things, if you go through nurse's training or doctor training, my, do you learn to scrub your hands. Scrub, scrub, scrub. Have you ever seen the procedure that somebody has to go through before they can go into the operating room?
Yeah.
Doctors included. They have to stand there and scrub, 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 scrub. No, not the kind of hand washing I do when I come into the house and just run under the faucet for a few minutes. No, you scrub, you have to use a brush. It has to be so many minutes. It has to be certain kind of soap. You have to go over it and over it and over it, and the timer has to be set. And then you can put the gloves on. Why all the scrubbing? What happens if the glove breaks? Are you going to infect the patient while his innards are opened up? You see? So, listening to an evil report will defile one's mind. It is a reality that you must properly deal with. Hebrews 12:15, we've alluded to this. It says, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. You see, the root of bitterness has the ability to spread the disease of your bitterness to somebody else, and you're going to defile other people. How do we need to deal with bitterness in our heart, in our soul? We need to repent of it. We need to forgive. Amen? Because if we don't, sooner or later, you think, well, no, it isn't going to bother anybody but me. I'm the only one that's going to hold my bitterness. No, that's not true. Sooner or later, it's going to get out. It says springing up suddenly. When you least expect it, there's going to be an explosion. It's going to spread dirt all over the place. Amen? Let me give you an example from Absalom, and maybe we'll finish off with this here. An illustration of listening to an evil report. Absalom used an innocent-sounding evil report to steal the hearts of almost an entire nation and lead it into revolt against his father, King David. The report emphasized his concern for suffering people, his deep desire that justice be done, and his ability to be a better administrator than his father. Actually, Absalom was bitter because his father did not bring judgment on Absalom's half-brother for what he did to Tamar. Absalom wanted his brother killed because of it. and David refused to kill him. Amen? So he took matters into his own hands, and he ended up being rejected by David because of it. All right, now let's see. I'm going to go back into 2 Samuel chapter 15, verses 1 through 6. We're going to point out some things here. And it came to pass after this that Absalom prepared him chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. So you see, first of all, he's exalting himself, isn't he? Okay, he gathered and organized a group that would be loyal to him rather than the one that he was supposed to be a servant to. Okay? Says he rose up early. He's energetic. He's disciplined here, at least, isn't he? Okay? And he stood before the gate, and he made himself available to the people here at the gate. And it was so that when any man had a controversy, came to the king for judgment, okay? So you see, he's seeking out people that have grievances already. My goodness. Lord, just examine our heart here as we go through this word. Is there any of this in me, Lord? You know, do I seek out those that have a grievance? Amen. Then Absalom called to him. All right? He made a personal interest in these people and said of them, "What city art thou?" And he said, "Thy servant is of one of the tribes of Israel." And Absalom said unto him, "See, thy matters are good and right." So he took up the offenses of those others who had been hurt. Amen? "But there is no man deputed of the king to hear thee." Again, he's alienating the people from the authority that God had put over them in God's leadership. All right? Now, we're talking about the defilement here. Absalom said, moreover, "Oh, that I were made judge of the land." See, he offered to be a representative, make sure things are done right. "That every man which had suit or cause might come unto me." He would use his new position to increase his loyal following here. You see, he did this. "And I would do him justice." And so it was that when any man came nigh to him to do him obeisance, he put forth his hand and took him and kissed him. See, he desired acceptance and recognition as well as authority. Getting really cozy with him, okay? So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. And you know what happened. He carried out a terrible takeover of the nation and defiled many, many people. Many lost their lives. David had to flee for his life because of this. Amen. Well, I think we've probably gone far enough. And I think it'd probably be a good time to bring this to an end today.